Crosstalk Radio is sponsored in part by Love Work Recording Studios. Whether you need recording or mixing and mastering services, Love Work is all about quality and customer service. Check them out at theloveworkstudios.com or give them a call at 678-953-2170.
Yo, what up? This is Yen Ra, and you're listening to Crosstalk Radio, where they keep it real and raw. Let's go.
Yeah. Crosstalk Radio in the building. We got Big Pudge in the house.
Steph Swig in the building.
We on the air like here we go.
Here we go.
It ain't the same no more. People changing up the game. Oh Lord, we on the air to let them know.
Let them know.
We got our own station now. Talking about the way the world is now. We on the air like here we go.
Here we go.
It ain't the same no more. People changing up the game. Oh Lord, we on the air to let them know.
Let them know.
We got our own station now. Talking about the way the world is
now.
It's called
Talk with this radio. Conversations about the high low. It's Big Pudge and Steph Swig. Two bold brothers kicking down your door. Engaging listeners on topic discussions to bring questions. We got real issues that need solutions. We got so many people that need deliverance. From ISO to the church doors. Ain't no more keeping our eyes closed. All these elephants in the room. It's time to take time out with the broom. Instead of sweeping all these issues up under the rug, it's time we unify and penetrate what God's love. From spiritual to political, from astrology to science, from theologian to the Vatican. Let's believe big things is happening. This ain't your average ordinary radio show. Worldwide, blessed by the guy who make the sun glow.
A show that promises to engage listeners in objective conversations and share scriptural truth that transcends one's emotions, personal opinions and preferences as a means to provide practical solutions and answers to real issues that affect real people by discussing a variety of diverse topics and provide thought-provoking answers to questions that we thought we knew the answers to. I just want to talk about stuff people don't want to talk about nowadays. I want to address the elephants in the room. I want to be thought-provoking, open-minded.
We on the air like here we go. It ain't the same no more. People changing up the game. Oh Lord, we on the air to let them know. We got our own station now. Talking about the way the world is now. We on the air like here we go. It ain't the same no more. People changing up the game. Oh Lord, we on the air to let them know. We got our own station now. Talking about the way the world is now.
Welcome to Crosstalk Radio. This is your man, Steph Swig.
This is your man, Big Pudge.
Thank you.
We appreciate the love.
We love you too. Thank you so much. Yo, we got a very special show today. We got a very, very special guest in the studio. This has been a long time coming. We got Mr. Adam McNatt from 47 Spots up in the building.
Give it up for him, people. Give it up.
So how you doing, Adam?
Good. How you guys been?
Man, we've been great,
awesome,
man.
Awesome, man.
We've been
phenomenal.
Love hearing what's going on with Crosstalk.
Man, I appreciate you checking us out, man. That's good. We got so many friends like, oh, you do a podcast? Like, dude, we like 42 episodes in. Where y'all been? Like, where you been?
Man, right. I mean, you are on social media, correct?
Right,
you
right,
do
right.
see our post, correct?
And we tag you. So it's cool because I really wanted to get Adam on last month because they just celebrated the 7-year anniversary at 47 Spot. Once again, congratulations on 7 years
yes,
at 47 Spot.
That's monumental, especially in this industry.
Yes,
it is.
Man,
very
huge.
Monumental.
To God be the glory.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. So we're going to dive right in, man, because I know we said 47 Spot. Everybody don't know what the 47 Spot is. Pudge and I know what the 47 Spot
right.
is, but most of our listeners may or may not know about it. But if they don't know, they got to know today.
That's right.
So first off, Adam, tell us what the 47 Spot is.
Well, the 47 Spot is a Christian hip-hop event that God has used primarily for both outreach and for networking. It's been awesome to see it develop and come to pass the way that it has. When we first started it, we didn't know what to expect.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of thought, you know, hip-hop, it's probably going to be like a teen event. It was not even like that at all. It's really kind of an all-ages event.
Mm-hmm.
And it has been used, like I said, in a big way for networking people that do Christian hip-hop, whether they're producers, DJs, artists, or just kind of in that field some way or another. And God has used us to reach places far beyond the little location where we have our event. So it's been amazing.
Y'all have a huge online following, correct?
Yes, we've you know, it started back in 2011,
mm-hmm.
In February, And we did the first event in our house.
Okay.
It was 3 days of fasting and prayer. Because I was in a moment where I was like, you know, I've got to get an answer from God on what's next. Because right now, like, I can't keep going right now. Like, it's going. And I didn't see anything ahead. So, you know, in moments like that, it's always important to pray. And, of course, definitely. I was a preacher's kid. I was raised with all these testimonies of people, you know, spending days with God and nothing else and seeing a light from heaven and everything. And I'm like, well, you know, I'm never locking myself up in a room with just water. And I guess that was my form of rebellion, you know. But so anyway, it hit a moment, and I just told my wife, I said, I'm going to lock myself up in a room. I'm going in there, and I'm going to pray. I'm going to have some water. I'll send you a note under the door if I need anything. I said, other than that, come out and use the restroom. I'm not coming out until God tells me I can come out. She goes, how long are you going to be there? I don't know. Well, what do I tell your dad? Because I work with my dad in ministry.
You know,
and when he calls, you know, it's not just dad calling. It's also the boss sometimes. So, you know, I said, tell him I'm not available. I'm talking to God. I mean, I was just like at this place in my life.
You're determined.
Yeah.
You can't argue with someone saying that. What can you say?
Yeah.
Right, tell him to hurry up.
Right.
So I did. I went in there, and literally all I remember is praying, listening to scripture on audio. I'd fall asleep. I'd wake up praying. I'd fall asleep, wake up praying. I literally lost track of the time of day and night to where when I finally felt peace after about 3 days of being in there, that like God's like, okay, you can stop now. And I had a headache. Because, you know, I probably hadn't been eating right. And when you stop eating. How much caffeine and sugar you've been intaking. Go water, you know. Be all super spiritual. Man, I mean, I tell you, I had a headache like you wouldn't believe. But I came up out of the room and I found Belinda. And she just happened to be up late that night. It was like midnight.
Mm-hmm.
And she's about ready for bed. And I just went down. I said, I'm done. I said, I got a headache. Can you rub my shoulders?
I know that's right.
And it was no light from heaven.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Jesus didn't walk into the room in a visible manner. I didn't hear an audible voice from God. But I came up out of that time, and the only definitive instructions I remember were three simple things. God said, start a hip-hop night, do it once a month, and do it in Lilburn. And so that's
real basic.
We lived in Lilburn,
right?
We've done a lot of ministry. We've done street ministry. We've done youth ministry. We've done so. In my mind, when you don't have all the pieces of the puzzle, and God gives you a little something, you start trying to put them together. How you think it's going to work?
Uh-huh.
And so, you know, my mind said, "Oh, well, I guess it's going to be a youth event, you know, whatever." But there were just certain things along the journey.
Yeah,
you have to continue to be sensitive to God, because I knew like. Like if somebody would toss an idea at me, we ought to do this. That I just didn't feel right. Like that's not what God's wanting this thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
Or another opportunity might open and be like, you know what, that fits in what God's instructions were. And so that was it. Just kind of one step at a time. And we said, well, we live in Lilburn. We've never done this before. We didn't know about anything else going on. I didn't know about Scott Free and City Takers. Didn't know about Soul Cafe back then. Right. Didn't know none of this stuff. C-Room, never had heard of it.
Mm-hmm.
We thought, you know, I guess we'll start our little thing over here. Who knows if anybody else even likes this stuff.
Yeah.
And we literally made a few phone calls to some people that we knew like Christian hip-hop. And said, hey, we're going to do this thing on the first Friday in February at our house. Why don't you come on over? We're going to like just have some rap artists and I'm going to preach a little word and that'll be it. We didn't even have a DJ. I was on my laptop, had the laptop hooked up to the sound system, but I had some killer JBLs, big old 18s in this little, garage in my house, you know, and it's like, and we came in and the very first time, like 30 people, half of them I didn't even know who they were, showed up at the house. I mean, we rocked it out. Everybody's like, let's do this every week, you know. I mean, like from day one. And you know, that's the nature when we get excited about stuff. But I said, I'd love to, but God said once a month. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I always went right back to what he said.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I had people offering me right out the gate, man, we'll give you a whole building with lights, sound system, everything. All you got to do is flip on the light. It won't cost you anything. We're over here in Marietta. And I'm like, God said Lilburn. I got to stay in Lilburn
until
God
says something different.
You know, we had bands contact us, rock bands, jazz bands. And God said a hip-hop night.
Yeah.
I can't do what sounds cool.
Right. Yeah,
I got to keep it like what God gave me.
You got to be obedient. Yeah. Right. I feel you.
And so that was it. So we started there in Lilburn. And then after 5 years, God said, okay, you've been faithful. It's okay to go outside Lilburn. And I didn't look for anything. We just simply said, all right, cool. And within a month or two, Pastor McCoy over at Hope for Tomorrow.
Yeah,
we got connected again. We'd done a lot of stuff in the past with Trump for Christ and different things with them. And he was in a new building and basically said, if you want to have it over here, you're welcome to. And it just felt right there. I left in my spirit. I said, we're moving to Decatur. What's up with
that?
There
you go.
And lo and behold, the awesomeness of God, a lot of the people that really helped us kick it off in Lilburn, it's like we were bringing it to their hometown.
Oh, wow.
So, you know, so here we are in Decatur, the 47th spot, and lots of things ahead.
All right. So we got back a little bit. So 47th spot.
Yeah.
How did you come up with that name? You never explained that to us.
Well, the 47th spot came from a conversation. You know, like I said, three simple instructions.
Mm-hmm.
Hip-hop, Lilburn, and once a month.
Mm-hmm.
So that's all I had. So everything else, it was like, okay, I'm going to do what I know to do in ministry. I started getting on the phone. I'm talking to people. You guys know Infinite, Earl West.
Yeah.
The guy's a lyricist. I mean, if he says it just kind of flows off the tongue, I believe him.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. and then my brother, my youngest brother, Eric.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people know him as Eric T. Loyal. Just crazy freestylist. And, you know, just kind of throw him a bone and he'll rap about it.
Right.
So, you know, and so I'm on the phone with these two guys and we're just basically having a little conference call. And I'm like, you know, guys, this is what God put in my heart. And this is all I have.
Uh-huh.
I said, you know, these things, like I know how to do an event. I know how to make things exciting. I know I've done ministry. I know
how to do it.
I'm just, but this is the only instruction God gave me. And this is my template.
Right.
So, but if I'm going to do it, I want to get a name. I want to brand the name. I want to make a logo. I want to push it from the get-go.
Right.
I don't want it to be like we're meeting at, you know, Adam's house.
Right.
Like, they're doing some rap thing over at Adam's house. I said, I want to call it something. And you know, some of these ideas came out. Somebody like, well, I've heard of, you know, different people call things like, you know, hey, let's go to the spot. Let's go to these things. And and I said, yeah, but what I'm looking for is something specific. I need something that identifies it in a way that everybody knows, oh, that's that spot. We're not just talking about, you know, this location or this hangout or this event. I said, I need something specific. And Earl says, Infinite, he goes, why don't you call it the 47 spot? And I'm like, well, what's the 47 mean?
And
this is how a true lyricist just thinks. He's like, well, you're in Lilburn, 30047.
Oh.
I'm like, okay.
I never knew that.
Yeah.
But that's the zip code?
Yeah, that's the zip code.
Yeah, okay. Wow.
I said, I like it. Now me, you know, I can do a little bit of rap. I can do some music and stuff. But, you know, I recognize real talent, you know, the people that got it. He's got it. So I'm like, okay. So would you call it, like, the 47 spot?
or 47.
Or 47
right, which one are you going to call it?
And all he had to say was, 47 spot kind of flows off the tongue. And I'm like,
yeah,
that's my man. Because I'm a fan. I mean, you know, a lot of people don't know this, but Infinite was, man, he was new in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And coming to the church, him and his family showed up at the church where I was a youth pastor back so many years ago. And
so many years ago.
But when he came, you know, him and his cousin were there, and I found out about them. They were a little too old and too cool for youth group, you know. But yet the pastor wanted me to reach out and connect with this family and connect with them. Mm-hmm. And I'm not going to lie, he'd tell you, too. At first, he was a hard cookie to crack. He was like, you know, from up in New Brunswick, New Jersey.
Yeah, Jersey.
And he was a little older than his cousin. His cousin jumped in kind of to what we were doing pretty quick. And he's kind of like, I don't know, man, you know.
Yeah.
But I'll never forget. I'll never forget because I was using Christian rap. We would do things like I would make a beat. And then we'd have a Bible study with some guys there in the streets in Stone Mountain, and they'd come walking over from the apartments, and I'd make a beat, and what I'd do is I'd teach them some kind of Bible study, and I'd say, guys, here's the beat I'm dropping this week. Now, come up with a rap based on the Bible study we just did. And this was just stuff I was doing just that just were ideas that were flowing. I wasn't really paying attention to it.
Anyway.
So we're doing those things, and then I'm like, man, I want to like have some of these guys do some stuff on the church platform, and I even did something outside the box. There's an old gospel song. I don't know if you know it. It's like, wash me, Lord.
Oh yeah,
wash me, Lord.
I know that.
Okay. Well, that song, I found a track for it, and I put together a teen youth choir because that was the thing to do there. I mean, choir was on, the teams were cool with it. But it hit this instrumental. Now, and our church was big with live bands, and so I'm like, I can't be going up there with this instrumental and just have people like, you know, swaying and clapping and nothing. So I'm like, I'm going to get somebody to rap.
On the track?
And some of the guys I tried to pitch it to, they're just like, you can't rap to that. Like, that's not a rap. That's a gospel choir track. But Earl's cousin, he was flexible. He was flexible. Yeah, he was good too. And you know, we had done a little freestyle competition one time at the youth group, and started getting him involved. And he was just so clever and so fun with his stuff. And so I showed him the track. I said, "Look, it's only this long, and I need something to go right there." I said, "And you could deliver it like this, deliver it just like a rap, but it's, you know, so it's a track." And he's like, "I got it. I can do it."
Mm-hmm.
So on a Sunday morning, in front of the whole church, we're busting out the choir, three parts. The teens, they've got the church on their feet and everything. Yeah. And we hit the instrumental, and James steps out, and he just busts out, "You better believe in the Lord Jesus." And he's going in this whole, you know. And the way at least Infinite tells me the story is it opened his eyes.
Oh, dope.
And he's like, "I could do this." You know, and I told him, I said, because his heart was, "I'm leaving the things of old," which is where we all need to be when we get saved and we accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. You know, we're leaving those things that are behind us, and we're going to the new things because we're a new creation in Christ, and that's admirable. Yeah. But in his mind, all he could connect hip-hop to was
the negative.
The influence he'd been around, what he grew up. So it was like, never hip-hop again.
Right.
Never rap again. Mm. And I basically told him one time, I said, "Man, I said, God gave you a gift. You don't throw out the gift. You just change the way you use it."
Amen. Amen.
And so he did. Now, you know, now I'm just a big fan of his. But, you know, so
I'm a stupid fan, too.
Yeah, it's cool that, like, you know, I got to be, like, a spiritual leader and pastor young in his life and take him to some conferences, and he got involved, and we did things together. And then when I moved to New York and left the church, I passed it on to him. He's now in charge of leading the kids and stuff like that.
Wow.
And it was cool. And then kind of years down the road, not only is he putting out music and I'm a fan, but he actually is an instrumental part of helping me name something like the 47 spot that we're celebrate 7 years.
Yeah.
You know, and doing this thing in something like Atlanta, like the capital of hip hop.
Yeah, this is
crazy. So I love watching God work, and that's, you know, that's kind of one of those inside things of how, you know, connections matter.
It does.
And we're about networking. And so we encourage people. We say, look, you know, as far as event itself, we're like a small event, but as far as what God's done, somehow He's displayed our stage to the world through the internet. We've had people come from all over. I mean, we've had people from Washington, New York, Alabama, Tennessee, Florida. Mm-hmm. We've had people a lot of people don't know that. We've had people not only drive into town with a van load of people from record labels to come and do something at the 47 spot from as far as Orlando, Florida, but we've actually had people from like Miami catch a flight to the 47 spot on their own bill, be there, perform, and fly back. And, you know, those kind of things don't happen just because you got a cool event.
True.
No,
true.
They don't.
You know
no,
what I mean?
No,
it's
no,
it's
I agree.
Been
not.
A God thing. And then I do missions, and I do ministry around the world through Global Harvest. I'm an auxiliary bishop with that fellowship, and you know, I kind of keep the two, even though they're interconnected because it's all me, I keep them separated.
Separate, yeah.
You know, it's kind of a different thing.
Mm-hmm.
But I've literally gotten off the plane and onto a missions bus in Guatemala and have the local missionaries there go, so what's the 47 spot?
Wow.
You know, so it's just crazy. It's crazy.
That
and,
is crazy.
You know,
I guess when
great.
People are looking you up.
Yeah, they're going to see.
Yeah, they're
going to
see.
Yeah.
They see every
yeah.
entity that you have your hands
yeah.
in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So,
yeah.
so since we are that you know, because we know you, but there's a lot of people in other countries that don't. When it comes to hip hop, like, you know, I'm sure somebody's listening to this right now and be like, he sounds white. God
yeah.
gave him a hip hop club.
Yeah,
he's
I know,
white.
Right?
So you have to, like, we know your history when it comes to rap,
yeah.
but let the rest of the world know.
Yeah.
Well, honestly, I think when it comes to this kind of thing, I'm probably like an oxymoron, like the Dick Doug you know, because the truth is, I have an uncle, and I'm not going to get into too many details, but let me just say he's got lots of experience with the streets.
Mm-hmm.
And all the way back to 1980, probably 1987 or 88, I'm thinking, when he pulls up in his little Isuzu truck, and he's got these massive speakers that fit in the back of the tiny little cab, and he lets me hear, for the first time ever in my ears, a Run DMC track.
I knew it was going to be
awesome.
Oh,
shut up.
Yeah.
You never shut up. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I was like, what is this? And then the bass starts rattling my back.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you what it was, more than the artist, more than the rap, it was the bass.
Mm.
Man, when I felt that bass rattle, I'm like, oh, this is cool. You know, we had a piano in the house. I learned to play piano. But I love playing the drums. I don't consider myself a great drummer because I've been around too many that can just smoke me. I mean,
yeah.
I keep a beat, you know. But if I could, it's crazy. All these years, I hardly do it. But if I could just pick an instrument to really invest in, if I didn't have anything else going on in my life, I'd probably want to be like the sickest bassist out there. You know, just so that bass and drums is such a cool sound.
Yeah.
And the irony is, this is where you get a little bit of that whole, this don't make no sense. The irony is, I was such a sold out little Christian. I knew as 5 years old, I was going to be a preacher like my daddy.
Yeah.
So at this time, I'm only like 12 in 88, and I'm like, you know, I'm giving out some clues so when people want to do the math and figure out how
old I was. I was actually doing the math when he said it.
Somebody stop listening right now.
Yeah.
They're just like, okay, 88, 98.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay,
pause the show. Right? Yeah. I didn't even tell you how old he
pause,
is.
Pause, come back.
Right.
but yeah, I mean, you know, I heard that sound. It was awesome. But I didn't do what a lot of kids do. I didn't now go try and sneak some tracks and CDs I'm not supposed to have and listen to, you know, I didn't start listening to all the rappers out there. As a matter of fact, I was the kid that when everybody else showed up at a talent show and did something, you know, some kind of talent, I showed up with a Christian track that you do in church and I sang in a public school.
Yeah.
You know, so I mean, I was the oddball in a lot of ways.
That sounds so funny.
But it does sound funny. But yet, in a way, God just always put me in a place to where I thought I was cool.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I had no fear. I had a confidence about me to where everybody, I was likable. So, so at least being likable, even though I was strange, like this kid ain't afraid to be, you know, the gospel, he'll wear witness wear to church. My rebellion was this. My rebellion was if I put a shirt on that said I am a Christian, and then they told me I had to turn it up. I'll tell you, one time I had a shirt. It actually was a cool shirt. It had this whole, like, thing with an angel stepping on a demon's head, and it was something like, you know, busting the gates of hell. And because it said the word hell, this was back before they tried to kick all the Christianity out of church. It was already happening. But what happened was it said hell, and so they looked at it as like a bad word. And I remember the principal told me I was going to have to turn my shirt inside out.
Mm-hmm.
That's where my rebellion came up. It wasn't to go, like, do everything against my parents. It was like, no, nah, I'm a Christian.
Right.
Bam. Oh, where am I?
Bam.
Yeah. You know, oh, what? Tomorrow I'm bringing my Bible to school.
Right.
You know, I mean, it was like, you know. And so, yeah, I was, you know, I was kind of a little wild like that. But
He referred to praying the Bible school as wild. That's hilarious. That's wild. Yeah. With the Bible and stuff.
You think this shirt is something? Wait till I show up tomorrow.
You bring a gun, I bring a sword.
I'm bringing my anointing. You be anointing kids in the classroom and stuff.
Right. So, you know, I mean, by 15, I'd already entered some national competitions doing singing and short sermon things with some major denomination. You know, so I've always been pursuing this ministry thing. So here's where the funny part gets. You thought it was funny now. Here's where the funny part gets. So I've heard the bass and the drums and the sounds of like DC Talk, but I'm the kid that's still like calling into the Christian radio show saying what favorite Carmen song I wanted to play, you know. And so some people are like, who's Carmen? I never heard of Carmen. You go look it up. But anyway.
I have not heard Carmen since I was like.
Champion, we did the whole drama, man.
Literally. Okay, so, people, you got to go look up Carmen.
So you want to know one of my first rap songs, man? We're on the streets. And my dad, where he was a little radical, is he would allow his kids to get on stage in church and do something like a Carmen song. Like a Let's Go Rock and Roll, like
Which
a Petra,
really
or like a radical. Or like a DC Talk song. These songs, and what happened is, they would not have been considered even today. Sometimes they get a rough rap in the hip hop community, you know, because it's not like raw hip hop. But what they were doing was they were introducing rap to the church, so they were more instrumental
soft
than I think
intro.
Some people. Yeah,
it's like a soft
because
intro.
It was like acceptable. It was like, and so you know, you got people like Toby Mac who you know had put together this group, and they're coming out with songs. And Carmen was doing stuff like "Addicted to Jesus," you know,
right.
It's like this whole. And
it was not.
It was funny. It's not, you know, but what happened was this soft intro started opening up people's ideas.
It did, and
it also allowed what I saw in the community, it was allowing the church to do some things that were not so churchy in the community. So we were going down, we were living in Pennsylvania at the time, we'd go down into Lancaster County, Pennsylvania, it's all, everybody thinks Amish, but when you go into the city, it's as versatile as anywhere else. It's a diverse place. You got people that have moved out of Philly, and they're up there in the inner city of Lancaster, and people that have lived on their block and never been outside their block. I mean, it's like the real deal, and we would go in there every Saturday, and we'd set up a truck that would have a grill on it, and we'd feed hot dogs to the community and sodas, and we'd set up these big speakers, and we'd go out there, and then me and my brothers, we'd do some of our DC talks and our Carmen songs. and we thought we were bad stuff because, I mean, I would do stuff like jump up on the speakers. And, you know, I was acting like a kid at a concert.
Yeah.
But we were using it for ministry, and it was all preparation for what God was going to take me into because while this was happening, there was very few legit Christian rappers available. And it started... As far as what made it on the bookshelves, and I don't know how they got past everybody, but what made it on the bookshelves in the Christian bookstore that was closer to legit rap started out of the West Coast. So you had people that some people don't even know today, but a lot of these West Coast Christian rap styles, and it was different than anything I ever heard. So they'd have like music to ride to, and it'd have this bass bumping, and all of a sudden it like revived something that I'd heard years ago as a kid when they played Run DMC.
And the bass.
I'm like, oh my gosh. So I would never say I'm like a closet hip hop person because I wasn't ashamed of it, but I was listening to it develop through the Christian resources.
I got you. Okay.
So therefore, I have this unusual thing to where I've got a love for the hip hop sounds. I've been around it enough to know some things, but if I sit and talk real hip hop with somebody, like it's in my later years, I learned more about what was around. In
I got you.
You know, but God somehow has used me to be able to connect with people because I really do. I love the sounds. I mean, shoot. I play all different styles of music, and I put out all different kinds of music. But even in my own family, my wife was raised around more hip hop than me.
And yet,
when it comes to the family, if anybody's dropping a beat, it's dad. I'm dropping a beat.
I'm dropping a beat
right now on Wednesday nights. Right now on Wednesday nights at our church down in Hamilton.
Yeah,
we do a kids' night. Mm-hmm. And I'm doing a series that I made up, and it's called The Hip Hop Trip on the Discipleship. And the whole thing, I got a kid DJ. We're teaching the memory verse to a beat, you know. So I just love that stuff. To me, it's been a tool. And God has really used it. So
Adam's an easy interview. I forgot what you even asked him, Pudge.
Right. Yeah. He's easy. But I mean, he's staying. As Brandy would say, he's staying a course.
Oh, whatever, man.
He's not diverting from the questions. Yeah. He's literally answering the questions.
A wise man told me one time, as my dad apologized to him. I was very young, and we were sitting at a table. He said, "He's really talkative. I'm sorry." And the wise man said, "He said, it's all right to be talkative, son. Just make sure your words are wise."
There you go. I know that's right.
Amen. I said, "All right,
make sure there's a lot of good information.
Make sure there's meat to the matter when you're talking."
Like I didn't know none of this stuff about Adam today.
I knew the history of the 47 spot. I didn't know the history of 47. But I knew the history of. I remember actually asking. The concept where it came from, and then it's you and Earl. Either Earl is on stage or you're on stage. Like I heard the story about how y'all became, you know, and then I'm like you, I'm like a fan. You know, when it comes to his lyrics. Like I'm just so glad he was obedient. Cause dude is a monster when it comes to getting on the microphone.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm real glad he listened.
Yeah.
Me too.
I hear
me too.
That.
So you've been doing 47 spot for 7 years.
Yes.
And I'm kind of, given how you answered the last question for 20 minutes, I'm not sure if I have enough time to ask you this question. But I'm gonna risk it, Adam.
You let me know how much time we'll make it.
There you go. That's how you do it.
But no, all jokes aside, Adam. So what were some of the challenges you faced during your 7 years with the 47 spot?
I think a lot of the challenges would be what I would call obvious. Let me just say this. Whatever God tells you to do and whatever path you're taking to make it happen, just expect challenges and then trust God through the process. You have to have a tenacity to be consistent and to be faithful even when it looks impossible. Because there are times, and this is just some of the challenges, there are times when you know, we showed up and the lights weren't working in the building. Or we showed up and the electricity's out and we're trying to see. And here's the difference. What I found, and I've actually got, be looking out for me if you can on Facebook or something, Adam McNatt, or if you want to find Bishop Adam and like my page there. But I'm going to be posting a video dealing with consistency. Because one of the key ingredients that I found that has sustained us more than anything is being consistent. So in other words, when we showed up one time and we were over at the PC repair in Lilburn, and the roof fell in.
The roof fell in?
The roof fell in. We walk in there, it's got drop ceiling, and the drop ceiling is all over the floor because there's a leak that the landlord had not fixed. And so, literally, there was no way to use the room. Yeah. Like, we even cleaned it up and we're going to use the room, but there was a chance that more tiles could fall in on the stage while in the middle of the event.
Wow.
So I was like, we can't do it here. But a lot of people right then, that would have been cancellation. Why? Because we're 2 hours before we're supposed to go live online, and our venue had just fell apart.
Yeah.
I got on the phone, and within a few phone calls, and by the grace of God, we somehow got connected with somebody that was literally a mile down the road. It ended up being our next venue for the next 6 months, right there in Lilburn. And you know,
I remember that, too.
And we literally, we stuck a sign, so we... A mile down the road, we posted it everywhere we could.
Yep. I literally went to a 47 spot where I pulled up right there, and I seen the sign on there saying, y'all, a mile up the ramp. But then somebody was like, they said it on you. They said it on their page that the location has changed for the night. So
And those kind of moments you can't predict. I mean, we planned. We do everything we can to make it right. We're not going to be lazy and just hope it works out. You know,
exactly.
But you're going to have challenges like that, and that's when it really comes to the place of saying, "What are you made of? Are you going to find a way to make it happen?" Or, you know, is it, we'll get you next month, you know. Right. And I've seen a lot of events rise and fall on the simple concept that when it's tough, they don't do it. Mm-hmm. We've done, a lot of people don't know this, we've done the event and have 5 people show up.
Yeah.
I've had those times.
But you know what?
We all had that.
You know what? Mm-hmm. After the 5 people showed up, You better believe I had all five of those people promoting online how awesome the 47 spot was tonight.
Right.
And, you know, and we're pushing and we're getting ready for the next month. And it's like, well, next month's going to be better. I've had I've had my team say, you know, it's just been tough. You know, maybe we could just skip this one. And my mindset is, even though I live 2 hours away now, even if I have to be the only one there to open the door, we promote. It's once a month. It's going down once a month.
I hear that.
Yes. And that's
yeah. I admire that, so. Adam. I want to share that story because as an event planner, the challenges do come. I get to a point now where I expect them, but it was times I didn't expect them. It's like, come on, man. You get to the event, you know, promote the event, people come from out of town, the folks are supposed to let you in, they ain't there. You get in there, there's no heat. It's like, the sound ain't working. I would lose my mind. I did it a couple of times, and it's like, I went to the 47 spot quite a few times, and I see you have similar problems. So I remember I was at a 47 spot, and we got there. And the sound wasn't working at all. Like, you, the sound was not working, but your demeanor didn't change at all. Yeah. Like, all I asked you about it. I mean, like, a lot of time when you're doing events, it's a million things going on. Everybody's pulling at you. With me, I'm a little impatient, a little testy. Like, no, hold on, I'll get to you. But Adam was, like, saying to me, I could ask him a million questions at the time. He didn't skip a beat enough. He's still trying to get the mics together.
Right.
And I always admired him. I'm like, dang, so I've been doing it wrong this whole time. I'm like, damn. So I'm thinking, the sound ain't here. The DJ, they still trying to get the DJ locked in. It's the night of the event. And I'm going to be freaking out. But Adam was just so cool and calm about it. Like, dang, made me realize, like, I got to change some things about my life. Like,
he was just sitting there.
He was just sitting there so cool. Like, I'm like, how is he keeping this cool? Like the event's about to start. There's no DJ. There's no sound.
Right.
People are showing up. Like, but he's like, oh yeah, we're gonna plug this in over here. We're gonna do. Instead of dwelling on the problem, he was always dwelling on how to keep moving forward. And I always admired that. And I actually mentioned to me that day, I don't think I got as cool as collective as you are yet, but I'm heading that direction.
My wife knows the difference. Yeah. She don't think I'm cool and collective. Calm down already.
Well, see, look, I think it's because y'all been together for a while, and then she sees, she knows you in and out. Knows you in and out. So it's like not, I guess the person that you are just like sealed with. Is the one that gets the good, the bad, the ugly. Yeah. They get it all. Because seeing y'all two, I'll never forget, we made that song together. Oh, man, in y'all garage. Man, just seeing y'all two go back and forth was hilarious. She was just like, once he becomes determined, he's not going to stop.
Yeah.
It could be an epic fail, but he's not going to realize that until he fails. I never forget that.
The boat's going down. People are jumping on the lifeboat. I'm like, hold up a second.
I got one more idea.
I can swim.
That's awesome.
Oh, man.
But yeah, that was just something I admired about you. It made me realize I was doing something wrong. So I'm thinking, wow, like I would have lost my cool so many times over that kind of stuff. But now I get to the point where I get kind of cynical. Okay, what's going to go wrong now? Like, okay, is the mic's going to work? Is the DJ coming? Like, you just, all you can do is just do what you're supposed to do. And that's what I'm learning.
Well, let me just tag that with, this might be a word for somebody, but you never know when doing what you're doing, you're being an influence.
Yeah, definitely.
Because until right now, I had no idea the impact that made. I was just doing what I got to do.
Yeah.
And so be faithful to what God's given you, no matter how big or how small. Because even when it seems like, listen, there was an event when I was a youth pastor. We promoted. Anybody know anything about VeggieTales? Yeah. All right, VeggieTales was new on the scene. Mm-hmm. It had been out a couple of years. We were still watching them on VHS. All right, okay. And it's hard to believe it's been around that long. But man, I thought the coolest thing I could do for this youth event, we're up in New York at this time, and I'm thinking, man, we're going to do VeggieTales night. Like, everything's going to be red and green, whole game night.
Yeah.
You know, like how, I mean, you know.
He's like a whole game
the
night.
Teens, the teens are going to love it. Uh-huh. It's going to be fun. I had two kids show up. I had two kids show up that night. Two teenagers.
Oh,
and I was like, and I mean, you got to know, I had the whole room decorated. I had like original games made. I had the decor. I mean, I went over the top.
Yeah.
And two teens showed up. And you know what? Me and my wife, with those two teens, we played every VeggieTales game. We had a blast. And I just found out from the young man who is now, he was in an alternative school at the time. Mm-hmm. He's now, he's been in ministry for over 15 years. He's a worship leader in Virginia at a church that's running over 1,000. And, you know, he had told me just a few years ago, he said, man, you know, one of my favorite things we did was VeggieTales Night.
Wow.
And it's like, you just never know.
It's not
like
a lot of people show up.
And a lot of times that's what happens. People mm-hmm. give up when it looks tough. And it's like God might still be planning to use you that night mm-hmm. for the one person.
Exactly.
The one person that sees you being you.
Yeah.
So, you know.
What is that? That scripture? I'll become all things to all men so that I might win some. All
right. So that's now it. I got to pick on you a little bit, Adam.
All right.
So,
go ahead.
Because I always say, if you piss Adam off, you've really done something. Because I've never seen Adam pissed off. Adam's always been cool, upbeat, lively. I've never seen Adam pissed off. But I remember I was at the 47 spot. And he was doing his word, and he was talking about an event where he was so upset he threw chairs. You remember that?
Oh yeah.
Can you tell us what led you to throw chairs?
Well, let me just say this.
That would be funny just even see you.
Let me just say this.
Really?
Sometimes there's different. We all have to go through stuff.
Yeah, okay? True.
For some people, if we know their past, it's more obvious mm-hmm. the change in their life.
True.
But if you see someone that has any kind of maturity or development in their life, you have to know they've gone through change. God mm-hmm. has had to do a work in them because we just don't come out that way.
Right. It's coming already. I'm mature.
You don't teach a kid to say no.
Yeah. Mm.
They say they got the no thing down before they get anything else.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm
saying? That's something they don't
want to
do.
You don't teach
a
kid to fuss and to pitch a fit. They learn to do that. It's a part of who we are, human nature. Mm-hmm. And so for me, one of my biggest struggles as a young kid, believe it or not, was a hot temper.
Oh, wow.
And you know what? I embraced it. I heard we had Irish background. Wow. Irish people got hot tempers. I'm like, it's Irish. You know, whatever. You know, found out we're probably more Scottish, but it does still, you know. Still, the point was, you know, I had this thing, if I could compare myself to one superhero, and this is funny because he's not my favorite superhero.
Okay. I think we know where he's going with it.
But the Incredible Hulk,
yep.
What happens when he gets angry and the adrenaline gets to pumping?
Yeah.
Okay. I've literally seen at times in my life, before God helped me, mm-hmm. to where as a little guy and a little frame, but I was taught, hey, dynamite comes in small packages.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I was taught when I played football, every time, from elementary all the way through high school, I was the smallest guy on the field, but everybody knew I hit hard. Mm-hmm. Because I learned through wrestling, through leverages, through all these things, that I can use what I've got in a powerful way. And so I was usually this happy-go-lucky kid that wanted to do the great things for God, but if my temper ever got pushed, and it was probably more my brothers at home than anywhere else, but still, if it ever got pushed, I was ready to body slam somebody. You know, I was ready. And the good thing is, I probably was more controlled in that I didn't usually take it out on a person physically. Mm-hmm. If I got that angry, I would actually try to not touch them because. But what I found to justify in my own mind was, I could take a podium and throw it.
That was
like, justification.
I'm not going to hit a kid.
Right, but I can
but
take
I'm
a
about
podium,
to break
though.
This podium.
Yeah. This podium about to get it.
You know, and there's some things that I did that I'm not proud of. They were stupid. I mean, you know, and it would 9 times out of 10, it was probably throwing something or slamming something. Mm-hmm. Fortunately, again, this is just God's grace. Mm-hmm. I never hit anybody or knocked anybody out with one, you know. I didn't. So there was a sense of awareness there, but it was a literal explosion of temper, and it would be probably trying to suppress too much in and not releasing anything to God. Mm-hmm. And you know what? As much as I've developed and as much as God's helped me with patience and all that stuff, still to this day, if I don't give it to God, if I hold too much in. You know, it's going to bring destruction, and that's why we have to do what the scripture says. He says, cast all your cares on me.
Right.
Yeah. He cares for you, and that word cares, you know, you're dealing with stress, anxiety, worries. Yeah. Mm-hmm. We don't need to worry about tomorrow, what tomorrow brings. And so it's been a maturity that's gotten me to this kind of place to handle stress with grace, because it's definitely not all my nature.
I guess.
The positive We can do anything. That's my nature.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But doing it without getting upset, that's not my nature.
That's that work right there.
Yeah, man.
Without getting upset.
That's wow. It.
All right, you got any questions, Pudge? Because we're coming to a close.
Nah. I can't remember. I had one specifically. Oh, tell the people, you do all this, but you've actually made music.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
I keep thinking that, you know, me and Steph feel like we know the world, you know. Yeah. So I keep thinking that, you know, and if he knows us, then the world knows him.
Yeah.
But I'm
the
world doesn't know all of us, like I think. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So tell him you actually have made several albums or songs.
Yeah, we've.
Really, you and your wife.
Yeah,
me and my wife, we've worked together. We've been married over 20 years, praise the Lord.
Yes, and hand clap for that. Praise God.
And it's been awesome. And through that time frame, the one area we've really been connected and God's used us a lot is music. I would say probably primarily more than any other thing has been worship. But our heart has always been ministry. And I'm going to go ahead and throw it out there for you artists that have been sitting on some songs. We have had a fail in our life. We have literally probably written 100 or more songs, yet very few are out there and available to get anywhere. Because we have not focused on ourselves as artists. We've had people that started recognizing us and asking us, what do we call you? Or how do we do that? And putting us in the artist field. Mm-hmm. But our heart was never there to be artists. We just were ministers at heart. Mm-hmm. That were like, whatever platform God puts us on, we'll do.
Yeah,
right. And so 9 times out of 10, if I was making up a song, it was for a youth event. Or if I was writing a worship song, it was for a Sunday worship service. Mm-hmm. And so I think you'll probably see more from Adam and Belinda in future days. It may not be the same genre you expected before. Mm-hmm. Maybe it goes more of a worship vein. Maybe it's more of a praise. Maybe it is. Maybe it just flips it, because we're very eclectic in our taste
and versatile
in our delivery.
Yes.
But it's always been, what do we need for the moment? And we've never really focused too much on promoting the artist aspect, but we simply go by Adam and Belinda. Mm-hmm. You could probably find a bunch of outdated stuff online somewhere. But we're, to God be the glory.
Amen. That's, and I asked because I'm just like, okay, so when I met Adam and Belinda, I was floored at seeing these two, like, 5 feet short white people who have been in some of the worst places in America that you would typically in your finite mind would be like, no white person would survive a half a second.
Yeah.
And when I first met them, they were telling this story. I was somewhere in Africa, either in Africa or
Guatemala, probably
somewhere overseas, where the people there were telling you guys it's best you not go there.
Yeah.
And y'all went anyway, and the impact. So I was always, so what he's not telling y'all is just, I met him as an evangelist. Mm-hmm. Like when I saw him and his wife, that's all I saw all over them. But I saw the two people who would go where everybody was scared to go to.
Yeah.
It was like if y'all fear that, that's exactly where we're supposed to be. Exactly, like that's mm-hmm. how I saw them. So, and their music was so eclectic that it's kind of like you had no choice but to get into it.
True.
It's one of those things where it's like, and the happiness that y'all bring, the happiness is like you almost literally feel bad not participating in their songs when they're, because it's like they're always cheesing, they're always happy, and it's like, and it's so we've done a song.
Hardest
before.
Thing for me to do is me mug. What are you doing?
It is hilarious because they've done a lot of outreach,
mm-hmm.
and I mean, well, I would say missions, because I know I've heard a lot of stories as far as outreach that's global, mm-hmm. and that's huge, because a lot of people strive to get to that point to where, like, it's like you've already been through that season in your life and have moved on to something else, where people spend a lifetime just trying to get to that season to where they do one mission and be okay with that. So I just wanted to tell the world, because that at heart, because every time I see you with the microphone in your hand, it's us always about a soul.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think there's one time where I saw you minister, and you dovetailed it in towards the end up towards souls, but that particular sermonette, because it was short, was about the Holy Spirit, and you blew my, you were the second person to blow my mind, because my bishop had just blew my mind 4 days before then. Mm. You talked about the same thing she spoke about. Mm. And it was the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament.
Mm. Mm.
That right there, I mean, my knees were I'm standing in the 47th spot, listen to you talk,
yeah.
And my knees feel like, I feel like I'm about to just drop. Like, it's just, you just drop your knees buckle, because 4 days earlier, I had just heard the same thing, and it was just, I mean, my mind was just set on the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament. I'm just trying to fathom all the stuff that I was taught that was just incorrect.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like when I learned something new that I was taught back then that I'm finding out wasn't accurate, it does something to me, and I like the lost it 4 days later when you're actually teaching the same thing. So it's like, I just want to let the world know that, like you got a lot up on your plate. but literally, in my mind, souls have always been your main focus.
Yeah.
So
yeah, that comes across when you deal with them. Period. Like I can see that. Yeah. As soon as he grabbed the microphone, we can definitely see that.
Yeah. And I love how you make your sermons interesting. Like interesting to where it's like, okay, so if people don't know like what Adam does at the 47th spot, like he'll give like a little mini sermonette. And you know, you have people that's like, they like, I came here to jam. I came here to hear the word and the way of song. So I don't really want to be preached to or talked to.
Mm-hmm.
That's not the experience you're going to catch. Like, you always find a way to make it fit in the atmosphere of what's going on at that time, to where people don't feel like they're being preached at. And I'm saying at because that's the issue that most humans have.
Yeah.
Or talked to, you know what I'm saying? It's always a flow. And then whatever topic you choose, it always flows in with whatever just happened at the 47th spot. But it always segues to who needs Jesus tonight.
Let me just say this: maybe if there's a preacher listening or somebody out there that they feel like they might, you know, want to share a message, and they're like, "How do I do this and have that kind of thing that I'm not preaching at people?" And and I would say there needs to be two things you keep in mind. Number one. If you got to preach to anybody, preach to yourself.
Ooh, that's good.
And number two,
super good.
Number two, sometimes this is where people say, "Well, I can't preach to myself because I'm trying to soul win, and I've already accepted Jesus." And well, I mean, you know, that's a whole. I mean, we could do a whole podcast on that topic and how we still need to stay at the basics and grow. But I'm just saying, if you're not preaching to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Preach as though you are trying to literally reach down and pull somebody up out of the pits of hell.
Mm.
And if you can keep those two things, that my heart is to save somebody from being stuck where they're at and to pull them up out of that so that they can experience the life I live, or I'm preaching the word to myself because I need to remember this too. I need to make sure I'm not getting caught up in it because, hey, we're all flesh and nobody's perfect and we all need to continue to grow.
Right.
And so if you can do those two things, I believe it'll help you a lot.
Mm-hmm.
That's good. That's really, really good.
I don't even think I have stuff I want to ask, but dang, I just like kind of...
You got to shut it down now.
Where you go from there with these questions? My questions seem so petty after that. I'm like, I'm happy.
Go ahead, lighten it up.
All right, but before we let you go, Adam, let people know where they can find you or the 47th spot.
All right. Well, we do have, if you look up THE47SPOT online, Google search it or whatever, you're going to find the 47th spot come up all over the place. We've been blessed to see a lot of people come through, not just from many different states and everything, but people that already were well-known and others who... have become well known right before our eyes. Back in April of last year for my birthday, 1K Few was rocking it out at the 47 spot. You know, there's lots of people, TP9, Sean Locke, different people that have come through, surprise guests like Canton Jones showing up in the room, and it's been awesome. So you can find the 47 spot pretty easy. I will say this, we're in the process of doing some new work with our website, so that is not going to be the primary source that I usually recommend, but what we have done is we've really taken advantage of the platform that's available through Facebook Live. So I would say go to Facebook, like the 47 spot Facebook page, and then that way you can see when the videos come live on the first Friday of the month, and watch it right there. You can probably see some that are up there from the last few events we've had.
Okay,
awesome. Wow, okay, Adam. So, last question, I think. Now, before we get into the last question, I just
want to... I was going to say, we should have made it two podcasts. Yeah, yeah.
You know how people be saying, like, bye, they be leaving for like an hour. We be leaving for like 30 minutes. Yeah, it's kind of how I feel with this podcast.
I call it a lingering spirit.
Yeah, yeah.
Time on Crosstalk.
Yeah. So, what I want to tie into when Adam was talking about the sermons at 47 spot, it's like, what I like about it, because I don't really care for sermons. So I care for yours, but I'm just saying, I'm not a huge person who cares about being preached at as well. But it's like, when it comes to the 47 spot, each 47 spot has like a title. And so the title's always going to be tied into the sermon. So it's like, it's almost like a mystery thing. Like, ooh, I wonder where he's going, where he's going to tie the title into the sermon. Like, I'm always watching, like, where's he going to tie it to? Because, like, it's like one called, I'm about to blow. I was like, oh, so how is that going to tie into the sermon today? Then he's going, goes right in. I think that's the one where you did the, when you talked about throwing the chairs, I think. I think that was the one you talked about throwing the chairs.
Well, I think that must be his favorite one.
No, it was like, wow, Adam's human.
Man, he's human.
Adam's human. He does get upset. I knew it. Yeah.
Because it's not just me.
He's happy to have a partner in that.
So when is the next 47 spot, and what can we expect at the next 47 spot?
It is always on the first Friday if you're in Atlanta. And the reason I say that is because I'm going to reveal something that I've only told a few people.
Tell us.
All right? But I do know when the Spirit of the Lord is speaking. Mm-hmm. So even though we don't have a lot of the things figured out yet, I can say with confidence that I know that the Lord has been speaking to me about birthing another location. And if we do, I can say that the likelihood of it being in Columbus because of us being down there is pretty high, but it could be anywhere. I just know that there is another location coming. It will not be in place of what we do in Atlanta. Yeah, Atlanta was the birthing place.
Right.
So we will always have the 47 spot in Atlanta as long as God allows it to happen.
Mm-hmm.
But this would be actually a second place in a second city.
Yeah.
And so we're excited about that. So look it up online. Always, check it out. Like I said, if you like our Facebook page, we're going to put that information out there. If we wind up in the future with 20 47 spot locations along the nation, we'll have one single website. You can find it and find your location. So just always look us up and see where we're at. But right now, Decatur, Georgia, I believe it's 2459 Candler Road, right there across from the CVS on the first Friday of the month. The doors open at 7:30. We're there 8 to 10. With St. Clair as our MC, DJ Q on the ones and twos,
yes,
PG Prophecy helping us hold it down.
That's what's up.
Yeah.
You see the enthusiasm? We just asked him to tell people what to
do. Right. He just brought the enthusiasm with it. Right.
I'm ready.
That's that same energy you're going to see at the 47 spot.
Yes, sir. Well, Adam, thank you so much for showing up, man. We appreciate you coming through.
Yes,
you drove all the way from Columbus to be here, didn't you?
Yes.
We really appreciate the love and the support of Crosstalk,
man. Yes, we do.
On behalf of Pudge and myself, I want to wish you, again, congratulate you on the 7-year anniversary of 47 spot. That's amazing. Keep doing what you're doing. You've been a tremendous blessing to me, as well as practicing, allowing me to practice hosting at the 47 spot.
Did you say practice hosting?
Yeah, I'm kidding. But,
I appreciate both you guys for coming through.
But, man, it's always fun, awesome. Man. It's always fun. Yeah, I feel like it's an experiment when I go to 47 spot. I'm like, okay, let's see what Alex going to have me do today. So.
You never know.
Right.
Because you're coming doing one thing and you wind up doing something else completely different. Right.
I know what we told you, but the DJ's not going to be here for a while, so find a way to stall the crowd.
Oh, man.
But I really appreciate what you do, man. We got to give our shout outs real quick, Pudge.
Okay.
You got any before I go?
Nah.
All right, so special shout outs to my mom down in Great Georgia listening.
Give it up. Appreciate you, moms.
Appreciate you, mom. Appreciate your undying support and your feedback. I appreciate my wife listening to every show.
Shout out to Brandy listening to every show and being our silent commentator every now and then.
Right.
Shout out to our girl Alicia and Kanye's holding it down. Shout out to Stone Mountain, Georgia. Shout out to Eatonton, Georgia, Las Vegas, Nevada still listening with us. Shout out to Las Vegas. Shout out to Minneapolis, Minnesota. Tokyo still rocking with us. Shout out to Tokyo, Japan, still in the building. Tokyo. Shout out to Forest Park, Georgia, and shout out to Graysonville, Maryland. Man, we got some family up there or something. They've been chiming in a lot lately.
Graysonville, Maryland?
Yeah, man. Maryland. You said Maryland.
I just got a feeling. We got to do a little shout out to Columbus, Georgia.
Shout out to Columbus, Georgia.
I just got a little feeling we didn't do a shout out to Columbus.
Special shout out to Columbus, Georgia. Shout out to 47 Spot for 7 years. I'm Steph Swig.
I'm Big Pudge.
Crosstalk
Radio.
Peace.